Everything in life comes with consequences. Even when you give your pastor a tour of your homestead. Everything we do comes with consequences. Whether we do something right, whether we do something wrong, there is always some sort of repercussion. It's sort of like throwing a rock in a pond. No matter whether you throw the rock left-handed or right-handed, there is always going to be a ripple. Doesn't matter if it's a big rock or a small rock, there will be ripples. Doesn't matter if you throw the rock out into the middle of the pond or you just throw it off the bank of the pond or off the shoreline, there will be ripples. Doesn't matter if you throw the rock way up high in the sky or you just sort of drop it in, you get ripples. And that is true in the area of being thankful or being thankless. With Thanksgiving coming up this week, I want to just kind of take a look at some of the consequences in a person's life when they live their lives being thankful towards God. But I also want to kind of take a look at the repercussions of those who live their lives of being thankless towards God. Believe it or not, but there's a drastic difference in the lives of those who show God appreciation and those who do not. First of all, God, we learned this in Sunday school, God commands us to be thankful people. I'll do this, Mary. You can have next week. God tells us in Psalm 100, verse 4. He says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." That is a reference to the people entering the temple area back in the Old Testament. But today it refers to the attitude that we are to bring into the house of God that we go to on a regular basis. We are to enter into God's houses of worship with an attitude of gratitude. So let me ask you something. This kind of was in Sunday school, but I would imagine everyone here has been up for a couple hours by now. Have you gave God thanks for anything yet today? See, people who come to church with an attitude of gratitude will also come with an attitude to worship and an attitude to praise the Lord. They will come with a testimony to share about how God is working in their lives. Let's turn to the book of Psalms and let's go to the 100th chapter. And when you get there, say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for me." All right, Psalm 100, kind of a small, go ahead, you're right, kind of a small psalm, but it says a lot. "Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Before I go and kind of deal with that, I just want to encourage you. Maybe this is just something for you to read through the week. Five small verses, week of Thanksgiving. Be appropriate. That is the Old Testament telling the people how they are to approach the temple. But there is a New Testament equivalent for the attitude that we are to have as we come into the churches that we attend. We are told in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, to be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, ask yourself this. Would you rather hang out with people who are thankful or people who are thankless? See, people who are thankful, they just seem to have a little more joy in their life. And we're told this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. It says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And then it goes on and says, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Have you ever just noticed that those who have gratitude in their hearts, they are more pleasant to be around? Well, what about when things aren't going so good for us? Those are the times it's harder to be thankful. But in the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote about his sufferings that he had suffered throughout his ministry. And he said that he had been in prison more frequently, had been flogged more severely, had been exposed to death again and again. He had received 195 lashes from the Jews. He had been beaten with rods on three occasions. He had been stoned and he had been shipwrecked on three occasions. He said, I had been constantly on the move because he was always having to run from danger. He says, I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, my own countrymen, from the Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, at sea, and in danger from false brothers. He said, I've gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have gone without food, and I have been cold and naked. Yet in other areas of Scripture that Paul wrote in, such as in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and we looked at in Sunday school this morning, he said, give thanks in all what? Circumstances, all occasions, all issues. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because he says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And again, Ephesians 5, he says, always giving thanks. You never find an exceptional clause or an exception or a clause in there that says give thanks when things are always going good. It doesn't say give thanks if things are the way you want them to be. It's in all circumstances. People who are thankful, they still have hard times. Just like the rest of us. We've heard Kim and Marla several times this morning. They're not excited about what's their hit, the hardship they've hit, but they're very thankful people. People who live with an attitude of gratitude, they kind of keep their eyes on the bigger picture of things. People who are thankful in life seem to have a different perspective on life than those who show little appreciation. Being thankful has a tendency to take our minds off of the negatives and shifts our focus to the positives. Being thankful in all circumstances keeps us content in all circumstances. People who are thankful towards God, they live lives of hope. And let me add this, and I think this is an important one. When we give God thanks in all circumstances, we are acknowledging His position in our lives. When we give God thanks in all circumstances, we are giving Him the recognition that He deserves. And the consequences of having an attitude of gratitude is adoration. It is praise and it is worship. Have you noticed when you as parents and or grandparents give your kids something they really want, it's thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad, and they fly out the door to go tell their buddies what Mom and Dad got them. They can't wait to give a testimony. At that time, they consider Mom and Dad to be the best parents in the whole world. Key at that time. And so as long as they remain in their time of being thankful, they can't find anything negative to say about Mom and Dad. And so the consequences of being thankful in life towards God is adoration, it's praise, it's worship, it's having hope in life. People who are appreciative in life, they are just simply more pleasant and more joyful to be around. They just simply enjoy life. I'd heard James McDonald say this one time, and this went in my file, and it's this: gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. Gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. Now, we've talked about the consequences of being thankful, but as I said earlier, there's also consequences for being thankless towards God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. And when you get there, say, a thankless Christian is a contradiction of terms. Some of you are afraid to say that, aren't you? All right, Romans chapter 1. A thankless Christian is what?
A contradiction.
I like that. All right, Romans chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 21, and then we'll kind of look at the surrounding verses. For although they, that's mankind, that's people in general, that's all people. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So they knew God. They did not honor God. They did not give thanks to God. Their thinking became futile. Their hearts became darkened. And so what does it mean that they knew God or did not know God? Verses 19 and 20. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Here's what he's saying. We've talked about this on Wednesday night several times lately. Just through creation alone, everyone has an instinctive knowledge of God. It says that through creation alone, God reveals some basic information about His creative qualities and His power to sustain everything that He has created. Back in Psalm 19, it says this: the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In short, here's what he's saying. No matter when, no matter where a person lives, God reveals Himself to everyone that there is indeed a Creator. And so when it says they knew God, it is saying that through creation alone, everyone has been given a minimal amount of instinctive knowledge of God's existence. and as people accept the fact that there is indeed a creator, they will then come to understand that it is the creator who takes care of their daily needs by the means of sun to stay warm, or air to breathe, or food to eat, or water to drink, or whatever. So that takes us to the next question. What does it mean they did not honor God? It means those people failed to acknowledge God's attributes. That is very clear just within creation alone. It means people failed to give God credit as being the creator and the sustainer of all things. It means people fail to respect Him as their creator. It means people fail to have admiration for God as the creator of all things. And of course, those who fail to honor God also fail to give God thanks. So, what does it mean that they did not give thanks to God? It's real simple. They failed to express gratitude and appreciation to God for Him supplying the basic needs that they need to live. And so when a person has the knowledge of God's existence, yet fails to honor God and fails to thank God, their thinking will become futile. That's the consequences. So the next question is, what does it mean? What does it mean for a person's thinking to become futile? Well, simply put, it means that their way of thinking becomes meaningless and useless. They begin to reason things, or reason away things, that like God's sovereignty over creation and over His existence. They once had the knowledge of the Creator, but as they continuously fail to honor Him and thank Him, they begin to replace the truth that they once had with worthless and meaningless rationalizations, philosophies, and ideologies. See, when people refuse to accept the truth about something, what they do is they begin to think and analyze and speculate and theorize until they come up with what makes the most sense to them, and then that, to them, for them, that is what truth is for them. And so finally, when a person rejects the knowledge of God's existence, they fail to honor God and thank God in time, their thinking becomes futile, and in their foolish hearts, they will become darkened. So, what does it mean for a person's heart to become darkened? It means their feelings and their emotions become murky and muddy. It means that their conscience becomes insensitive. In the Bible, darkness is used to describe both a person's intellect and a person's morals. And so a person whose heart has become darkened, they have cluttered their conscience from knowing the difference between what is right and what is wrong. To them, the things that God calls immoral, they call moral. What God says is sin, they say it's okay. What they say is true, or what God says is true, they say is a lie. What God says is a lie, they say is true. When God says He's the only true God, they say, nope, there's more than one God. When Jesus says He's the only way to heaven, they say, nope, there's a lot of ways to heaven. Let's just let God describe a darkened heart for us by reading verses 21 all the way down through verse 32. And this is probably going to throw you a loop. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. So in other words, they begin to worship things of their own making instead of the God that made them. Now in America, we don't necessarily have little idols and statues that we worship. But we do have a nation full of people who worship things like their jobs, their cars, their homes, their clothes, their money, sex, celebrities, athletes, drugs, alcohol. I mean, the list is endless. And let me add here also, people with darkened hearts will reinvent God. They will redefine God to be what they want Him to be, and that is the God they choose to worship. Let's pick up verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. A depraved mind is simply a corrupted mind that lacks conscience. And their way of thinking is just completely contaminated. Verse 29. They have become filled with or consumed with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, or these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Now, as you sit and you just think of everything we just saw right there in those verses, it's kind of like, wait a minute, that's pretty extreme consequences for thankless people. Look across our thankless nation. Just look across the culture of our nation as we are thankless toward God. Where have we gotten to? I want to just read a couple verses for you that go right along with what I just read there for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 2. Actually, I'm going to read more than that, probably three or four maybe. And Paul tells Timothy, he says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Obviously, those kind of people are not thankful towards God. They will become lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. As you think of what we see there in Romans 1, it does appear to be very extreme that all of that can apply to people who become thankless people towards God. Folks, here's the big picture of what these verses are saying. When a person fails to accept the truth that God has revealed to them about Himself, when they fail to honor God and choose to be thankful towards God, and when they fail to be thankful toward God, they begin to fall in a downward spiral. They begin to develop their own philosophies, their own ideologies about God. They might talk about God. They might say they believe in God, but it's not the God of the Bible that they're talking about. It's a God that they've redefined and reinvented to fit their own personal belief system. And from there, their concepts and their understanding of right and wrong becomes distorted. Just look at the news. They rewrite their own truths, they rewrite their own morals, and eventually God releases them to actually do the evil and the wicked things that they have come to believe is okay. And so why would God allow someone to go out and do the evil and immoral things we just read here? And there's far more than one reason, but I'm only going to give you one of them for now. God will allow those who have rejected Him. He will allow those who are thankless towards Him, those who fail to honor Him, to go out and do evil things so that sometime maybe the consequences of that sinful acts or sinful lifestyle will draw them back to Him to the point that they will begin to know Him, honor Him, and become thankful to Him. So as I close this morning, I guess the first question is this. What's the first way a person can come to honor God? Well, that's real simple. They accept what God says about Himself in His Word as being truth. We come to honor God when we accept what God says about us in His Word as truth. We honor God when we acknowledge that what God calls sin is indeed sin. We honor God when we acknowledge Jesus as the only hope in life. A person honors God by confessing their sins and asking Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. So from there, what is the first way a person can become thankful towards God? Every day, express your gratitude towards God for giving you salvation. Every day, begin your day thanking God for a new day. Because if you fail to recognize that God gave you a new day, you also fail to live that day for Him. And then just live your life day to day such a way that it shows that you have appreciation for what God has done for you, for what God is doing for you, and what God will do for you later on. See, being thankful, it's a lot more than just words. Thankfulness is not just words, it is also an attitude. Thankfulness is not just words, it is also a heart condition. Thankfulness is not just words. Thankfulness is a choice. Father, we just come before You this morning and thankless Christian is a contradiction of terms. Again, you tell us to be thankful in all circumstances, not when things are just favorable and in our favor. And Lord, may we find it in us to be those grateful children of Yours. Sometimes we get focused on present circumstances and forget to look at the bigger picture. But You have already done so much in our lives that we should be forever grateful for all that You've done. you've taken care of our greatest problem. And so, Lord, as we leave here today and just a lot of people traveling maybe for festivities this week, Lord, we ask that your hands would be upon them, getting them where they're going, bringing them back safe and sound. But Lord, may you be at the forefront of our thinking this week. For those who take the time to read Psalm 100 this week, Lord, we just ask you to illuminate it to our hearts. Make it real to us. Not just ink on paper. But it might play a role in developing an attitude of gratitude in our hearts. We just love you and thank you for all things. In Christ's name, amen.